Art Supply Bossy. I am excited to bring you this conversation about art journaling. You'll know that the second part of my two-parter episode about how I recommend you start art journaling was recently released. I wanted to delve into the topic further. I think it's a really important thing, art journaling, and I wanted to sort of get other people's thoughts and ideas and suggestions. As I mentioned in both of those episodes, I don't believe there are rules when it comes to art journaling. I think whatever works for you, whatever book you use as a journal, whatever medium or mediums that are your preference, they're all right because they're right for you. The purpose of today's roundtable chat is to talk about how our guests art journal or why they don't. I think hearing from them might help you along your journey with art journaling. And I just use the word journey and I dislike the word so much, so I'm going to apologize because it drives me crazy because everything is a journey. But hey, it's what worked here, so that's what I went with. I'd like to talk about everyone's styles, when they journal, what materials they use. Really anything that fits into the topic of art journaling is up for discussion. Before we start chatting, I'll ask our guests to introduce themselves. So first up is past guest, artist Kylie O'Grady. Hi, Kylie. Thank you so much for joining the posse again.
Hi, Kim. It's a pleasure. I was really excited and, as always, really nervous.
That's okay. That's fine. It's fine. It's just the four of us after all, right? Like, nobody else is listening. It's all good. Would you be able to... Easy peasy. Yeah. Could you give the listeners a quick little introduction as to who you are, just in case they haven't listened to your episode?
That's all right. Yeah. My name's Kylie O'Grady. I've been an artist for, I guess, about 25 years. An artist, I don't know, I guess, selling my work or, but I think with all artists, since we were little is always where we start, somewhere like that. So, I mean, I've always been an artistic person, I guess. As far as my work goes, I'm a mixed media artist. I'm currently working on quite large paintings on canvas. In the past, I've done collage work, which I'm currently still doing with commission pieces of collage that I paint pieces, florals, and I cut out all pieces and then arrange them as compositions and sink them into resin. Long-winded way of explaining that. Anyways, so yeah, mixed media, lots of different ways that I do my work. And yeah, I sporadically art journal. And yeah, that's where I'm at. And I'm out of Canada, Vancouver Island, Canada, in BC.
Well, I think for the listeners, we will at the end share everybody's online handles so that you can easily find our guests today if you don't already follow them. But Kylie has undersold her work. It's absolutely gorgeous. Excuse me. And I am just amazed every time I watch a new, whether it's a reel that you post, Kylie, or just a photo that's showing an update to a piece of work. And I'm just like, oh my goodness me. I love this so much. And I think that's one of the things, I'm not sure if I've really said it much, but everybody I talk to, I find inspires me. Not bringing necessarily in the work that others do into my own work, but just seeing how they view the world. And it's kind of what I hope people get out of this podcast is by listening and then following our artists that we bring into the posse and then perhaps get inspired by them too. And Kylie, you definitely inspire me. Thanks, Kim.
That's really sweet of you to say.
I'm glad to have you back in today. So next up is a recent guest to the Art Supply Posse. And this is the best name I think I've ever come across. We talked about this on your episode, Sean, but Uncle Frogface, I mean, how can you not laugh at a name like that? It is truly the greatest. But can you share with us, please, just a little bit about yourself? Don't share how you got that name. We'll make listeners go and listen to your episode, I think. I think that's the way to do it. Yeah, just let listeners know who you are.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what you meant to do, right? Promote back episode, all that sort of stuff, right? I'm getting that business hat on.
Yeah, I mean, what episode number was it? But yeah, go back and listen, definitely. Hi, everyone. I'm Sean. I might be on a slight delay because, you know, that there are a few hundred thousand miles between us all. But I'm Sean. I'm aka Uncle Frogface. I'm a multidisciplinary artist, crafter, former teacher. I'm an artist influencer for companies like Stabilo and Kooliao. I have a YouTube channel where I promote the positive side of art and creativity and kind of the positive effects on mental health. I absolutely love wildlife art, so that's pretty much what I spend most of my time painting. I do acrylic painting, and I'm tempted to dip my toes into oil painting soon. I also do weekly top tips on different arts and crafts on social media as well. And I have a lovely puppet who likes to give fun facts once a week. But yeah, that in a nutshell is me.
I'm glad you mentioned the puppet because he makes me laugh. Every single time I see him pop up on my Instagram feed or whatever, I'm like, oh, here we go. What do we got today? And I love it because sometimes that's just what you need to laugh at a crazy puppet. So tell him I said that, he's mad, but I love it.
Absolutely. I won't mention him. He might be tempted to come out and then, yeah, we don't want that.
We might derail this episode completely. And lastly, but absolutely not least, is an artist who has not yet featured in her own episode, but I'm hoping that she'll be up for having a one-on-one conversation. I've tried in the past. We haven't got there yet, but you know what? Peer pressure, everybody. Car, welcome to the Art Supply Posse. Could you briefly introduce yourself, please?
After those two introductions? Okay. I'm not quite an artist. I actually come from a background of journaling with just pen and paper.
Stop that right now. You are.
I know. You keep telling me. I started journaling just pen and paper, and I think around about 2005, I went, I'm going to journal every single day, and I did that pretty much all the way through. There's some issues I was having when I was pregnant with my daughter, and when I had my daughter, I actually got in trouble for journaling in my hospital bed while she was like sleeping beside me. You should sleep. I'm like, yeah, I'm journaling right now. I need to record everything. I got into art journaling 2009 or 2010, I think. I stumbled across a course, and yeah, the rest is history. I basically told my husband to go and buy me 200 pencils. And then I realized I couldn't actually draw to save myself. So I've spent the last 12 years, 14 years learning how to draw. And yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
That's disappointing. You were told to not journal. I mean, you know what your body needs. And okay, sure, I'm sure it needed sleep too. But like, what is wrong with getting words out of your head? Like, my goodness me, people.
I think, you know, 5 or 6 pages, my husband was like, come on, you need to sleep now. I'm like, oh, but I've got to record every detail, every detail. Yeah. So, yeah, I have a shelf full of filled journals just with pen, and I now have a shelf with journals of all types of art.
I love it. I love it. So, Sean, you mentioned to me when I invited you to this discussion that you don't art journal yet, but you've been thinking about art journaling. So why are you thinking about it, and why do you think you're not doing it at this point?
Oh, well, let's start with the why I'm not doing it. My husband actually does journal, but he bullet journals. So it's nothing artistic. It's literally just him jotting down, you know, daily affirmations, how much water he's drunk, has he gone for a walk, what's the, you know, it's kind of things to keep a record of. Again, it's very mental health focused. And he's been doing that for 3 or 4 years. And when he started, he also bought me a bullet journal. And I started doing it, and I loved the thing of designing, this is January and this is the theme that I'm going to have through January. And then for the first 2 days, I'd really enjoy colouring in all of my little charts I've made for myself. And then I just got bored. And then it'd be, oh, February, I can do this for February. And I'd end up with nothing of any note in there for January. But February looked wonderful. And then the same thing happened. I got, you know, a few days in, I wasn't recording anything at all. And I think it was, it's, you know, my husband and I, our brains are very different. You know, he's very analytical. He's very, listy. You know, he makes lists of everything. He organizes everything. Whereas mine's more abstract and creative and pulling everything together from the ether to make something complete. So I've wanted to do art journaling because I have this, kind of, well, it's really a hatred of sketchbooks, and that's probably quite a strong thing to say. Sketchbooks for me have become this kind of thing that's shared on social media, where people are no longer sketching in them. They're creating a finished piece of artwork and then showing people. And that's not a sketchbook, really. That is an art book that you're showing to people. So I have dozens of sketchbooks that I would like sketch on random pages. Everything's out of order. I'll use loose sheets of paper to sketch on. And that's kind of me. But with art journaling, the reason I wanted to really kind of investigate it and see whether it's going to work for me is because you'll remember last time I was on, I was saying that my husband and I are going through the adoption process. We actually have a little bit of news, which I'll share. There's only so much I can share because of, you know, data protection and child safeguarding and everything. But we have actually been matched with a baby. So we are kind of going through the process at the moment. Thank you. And we will soon have a little one in our house. And part of that whole process is creating life story for the child, for our son. And we are going to have to keep records of everything so that he knows exactly where he came from, the circumstances of his family and his life before coming to us and then since being with us. And I thought to myself, what's the medium that I can do that in? Well, it's going to be art. It's going to be all of those random snippets where I can, you know, doodle what we did that day or how I felt or how Andrew felt or, you know, the things that we did that brought us to that point. So really it's kind of like I want to art journal for that reason. I want to art journal to create something for my son for the future to go back to and to have and to kind of know more about his story.
I love that so much. This is just perfection right there. Like, what a beautiful way to tell his story, share his story, and then create lifelong memories for the three of you. Like, that's just incredible. I think one thing you said, Sean, about at the moment you're creating sketches and things on random bits of paper. I'm sure Carr would probably agree with me. You could paste those into an art journal. Like, that's still valid. Would you agree, Carr?
Oh, yes. Pockets, chip-ins, throw them in there.
I was actually thinking
what you could do.
Yeah, go. I'm all ears. I'm going to stop talking. Go.
Sorry. I was going to say what you could do is get your husband to do the listing, and you could actually stick his list in around your artwork. Make it a joint collaboration.
That's a nice idea, kind of working together on a common project.
Yeah, because you could do things like the feeding schedules and, you know, decorate the outings when you go out. It would be an interesting, because I love bullet journaling, but like you, I decorate the January and then I go, yeah, can't be bothered. I'm done for the month. Where's my next journal? I've got something else to explore.
I'm so glad.
It's like this terrible affliction.
I tried it 2 years ago.
No, I like that. That's a great idea.
Like, why does bullet journaling not work for me? Well, because it's just not artistic enough.
I think, yeah, take the bullet journaling and make it work for you. So I use bullet journaling for work, and it's just words, writing, lists. When it comes to actually like creative side, I do the calendar, but I do it in my style. I think on my account, I've got like calendars each month I actually print those out and I put them in my journal. So I generally have like 3 or 4 printed and they're in every journal. It's just a start to the month for me, but it doesn't matter how the month goes after that. I can create it how I want it.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, Kylie, I think...
Yeah, that's great. That's really good advice.
Kylie, you mentioned to me that one of the things... You're very similar to me in that you've got lots of different art journals that you've started but haven't finished. And I think abandoned is probably too strong a word because they're still there and you're still thinking about them. But I wonder, is maybe why you haven't persevered with them because is it like some sort of thing in your mind that's got to be done in a particular way? Do you need to free yourself up a bit more, like what Kari is suggesting, like use what works for you as opposed to a strict defined in your head, this is how I've got an art journal kind of thing?
Yeah, it's almost like a sketchbook personality disorder, you know, where you've got, you know, how many personalities do I have? How many sketchbooks do I have? You know, it's kind of this, I've started it this way, so I guess I have to have, you know, this continuity. So it's all about the continuity in that and different series. I think in preparing for this discussion with you guys, I was like, I guess I better go through every sketchbook and see, you know, so what do they consist of? Well, you know, they consist of, you know, pre-Facebook and, you know, me owning a phone or any kind of other kind of documentation. I was always developing photos and I had a bunch of different Polaroid cameras. So that was my analog Instagram in a journal, you know, and it was kind of like how the list thing, like Carr was saying, a really nice way to do the two people. It's like, well, I have those two personalities clashing together to make something nice, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that, what Carr was mentioning as a suggestion to Sean, because yeah, there's one book where it's lists and quotes and poetry and, you know, and then this one is quotes by other people. And then this one is, oh, these ones are my flat books. This is my morning pages, you know, this is my, this. So it's kind of this compartmentalization because it's also the way my artwork is. I have very different styles. I have sketches, I have charcoals, then I have, you know, figurative paintings that are quite large. Then I have surrealist landscapes. Then I have, you know, so I guess each sketchbook represents a different part. And the reason they're not finished is because I'm always bouncing back and forth. It goes back to that whole boredom thing. Like Carr was saying, like, okay, that's good. Moving on. What's new? What's next? What's this? What's that? Oh, you know what? I'm really into turquoise right now. Oh no. Okay. Switched. I'm into yellow. Need this, you know, that goes here kind of thing. Does that make sense? Am I jumping around too much?
No, it makes sense. I don't think it's a problem. I think it's fine. I think that's clearly how it works for you and that's totally okay. And if you need permission to work like that and accept that that's how it works for you, then take it from me. It's yours to do. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are no rules.
Definitely. It does work for me and it does work as reference to go, okay, that's when I was feeling that and I'm feeling that again. So, you know, here, let's go back to that. I mean, a piece I did a painting. Maybe I finished it a few months ago. It was a painting that I had done when I lived in New York in the year 2000, you know, and I had taken a picture of it and put it in an art journal that was just photos, you know, glued in. And then that's 24 years ago, you know, pulling something out of an art journal and going, okay, I was really a crap artist then. Let's try, now that I have some new skills, to reimagine that work. You know, there's also that.
I wonder, have you ever tried doing all those different things, all those different parts of you within one book? Like, is that something you've ever considered? Like, and I guess maybe part of that, it needs an answer from Carr as to what she would recommend would be a good book to use for so many different things, as in I'm thinking the sturdiness of the cover, the paper, to be accepting of lots of different sorts of mediums. Like, have you ever tried doing that?
That sounds brilliant, actually. one massive collage book of all personalities gathering together.
Why not?
Like, my world might implode.
Well, maybe, but maybe not. It might do some other good things. I don't know. What do you think, Carl? Do you think that could work?
Just listening to Kylie, I was thinking, I've found my tribe. That's so me. I've got a million sketchbooks as well, and I just, always bouncing about. But as for the one, I keep coming back to a composition book, and it's good and bad. Good because it's cheap. The paper's not great, but it takes most mediums. And I pretty much put everything in there. It's like my brain dump, creative brain in the mornings. And I'm trying to show up every day just to get everything out. And then I do some little drawings in there. And what I'm finding, the more I do that, the more I bounce off other ideas, which then leads to other journals. That's the bad part. So I'm bouncing. I'm quite often messaging my partner in crime who does all my creative crime with me. And I'm like, okay, I need a new journal because I've got a new idea. And she's like, okay, just walk to your craft room and get one from the shelf because she knows I've got heaps on the shelf. But yeah, I highly recommend a composition book for all your excess thoughts. Just for, all the excess art and it's a hard one.
That's the name of it? Composition book?
Yeah, it's a composition notebook. I don't know what it would be called. I think they're called composition notebooks over there. Very cheap. I think they're like $3 or $4 each. 200 pages. And yeah, I feel two a year, I think, at the moment.
Oh, did you have a post about them?
Yes. Just recently, I think.
Okay. I think I saw your post about them. I'll look back at that.
Yeah, I generally don't share the inside because it's more like my morning pages. I'll just write in the morning and get everything off my brain, and then I'll try and create some little creature throughout the day and think of something which then bounces off and I start into another journal, which then goes to another journal. I have a very long process here and I wonder why I don't get much done.
Yeah, I'm feeling the tribe thing.
You're getting it done. You're just getting it done across multiple books and multiple pages, and that's okay.
And what
I want to say to Sean, if you find yourself, like, say, 2 weeks into this new, I'm calling it a life journal for your son. If you still find yourself wanting to go off and do other art journaling and another art journal, go hard, Sean. Like, if that's what you need to do, clearly we're all telling you that that's totally okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to echo what Carl said about finding tribe, because listening to Kylie talk about, oh, well, I'm really into yellow at the moment. No, I'm really into turk. I'm bouncing from one thing to another. That is very me. I'm slightly concerned about the comment of each sketchbook being a different personality, because, if I showed you the shelf in my studio, I think I've got about 200 sketchbooks up there, which is... that's really dangerous. I think the thing that I always find it hard to start something. Like, when it's something new, I either go really hard on research, so that I'm really prepared to start something, or I shy away from it because I'm not sure where I'm really going to start. And this is kind of one of those areas. Like, My experience with art journaling is like my experience with women. It's mostly theoretical. I need impetus from someone else to kind of guide the way, really, and say this is the best way to start.
Okay, so Carl, you're the one to answer that. You're the one to let Sean and the listeners come on. Like, again, no pressure, but
I mean, no pressure.
You've got a perfect excuse with this son coming along. Like, that's a beautiful excuse, but it's all good to have the reason, but how do you actually implement it?
Hmm.
I see my brain is zapping off onto a million different ideas for you, Sean. You've got the paper. You've got to look at what paper you want and what mediums you want to use in it. Oh, yeah, you've got me here. I'm stumped.
So as kind of an artistic magpie who will pick up anything and make a line with it, on anything. So, you know, pencil, ink, paint, it doesn't matter. What would be the kind of best all round, I'm just going to scribble this in here, kind of sketchbook or journal?
Oh, Moleskin. I say, sorry, I'm jumping in there, but the Moleskin books I find are really brilliant for that kind of thing.
I actually have. I've got a Moleskin sketchbook on my shelf with all of my others that I've never touched. I bought it because it was in TK Maxx, and it was all sealed up, and it had no labels on it, and it was £2.
I know.
And I was like, you know
what?
That's
so mysterious.
It was white leather belt or like white faux leather band. I was like, I'm just going to get this and see what it is. Fingers crossed, it's not lined paper. And I opened it up and it's plain paper. And I thought, I'm going to do something really special with this. And that hasn't come around. I mean, I've got a green leather A4 sketchbook that my husband bought me for our leather anniversary, which I think is like third or fourth anniversary. We're going to be celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary this year, and I've never made a mark in it because it's so nice and I just don't want to ruin that.
No, don't think that way. Don't think that way.
Oh my goodness, Sean, I'm cracking up. When Kim was suggesting this podcast, I sent her a video of all of my sketchbooks all over the floor. And I said, this one's 20 years old. This one I haven't put anything in because it's got this embroidered cover on it. It's got black pages in it. So I'm really going to have to use some bright colors inside. This one's like this. And this one's another 25 years old. And this one I picked up, these are my Moleskin collection, and they're all miniatures and about 15 of them. And this one's an accordion Moleskin. And this one is also a lined Moleskin. And this one is a journal. And this one is from our vacation in Ireland, me and my sister. And so, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah. Things with not even a mark in them. But for my son, he's turning 3 in a month, and I've got the small one so I don't feel too intimidated. And I've got the really cheap Moleskin that are lined, and I also have the cheaper ones that are blank pages, and that I'm not scared to cut up and re-put back together. So it's all my separate thoughts and letters that I've written to him. And then I can kind of do a conglomerate. And I was inspired by that because my mom actually wrote letters to me while I was in the womb. And she was just 18 and solo. And so I have all of her letters that she wrote before she knew if I was a boy or a girl. And she actually wrote a journal to me until I was about 3. So, and she took out what she didn't want, you know, or things that were too sad or whatever was going on. But that was left with me. So that was always an inspiring thing when it came to my son. So, I understand the need to document.
That's a lovely idea, the writing letters to a child for the future. I think that's actually something I'm going to take away. I think Andrew would enjoy that as well.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple of, or 4 actually, traveler's notebooks, the Maduri traveler's notebooks. I've got the small one they call a passport size, and then I've got 3 of their regular size. So one I specifically use to art journaling for travel, like if I go on a holiday. So I took it with me when I went to America. That's a combination of things. Like that'll have words in it, like, you know, something that happened that day, for example, or in that moment. But it also has like things I might draw or paint, or I have an Instax camera as well as a Polaroid, but I tend to use the Instax more because it's so reliable. And I will paste those pictures in, like after the fact or at the time, depending on, you know, how things work. And then I have a couple of others. One is for sort of note taking for some study I'm doing. And then the other is just general kind of everything, art, words. And one thing I've noticed with that one is, well, it's going to sound really weird, but you know, sometimes you just need to brain dump. Like you've just got to get out whatever's in your head. And then I look back at it and I think, I don't need that anymore. As in, it served its purpose at the time. I had stuff in my brain I needed to get it out so I didn't explode. So then what I've gone back and done is, because I'm pretty much everything I use isn't like is water soluble, I've gone back in with a paintbrush and water and just put it on top. And then the words go away or they stay depending on how much water I apply. But then I either create something with it just like that, or then I use that as a base and then layer other things on top, which I find is really fun because in a way it's freeing up, because sometimes I look back at just words and think, what is the point of all these words? Like, they were suitable at the time. They did their job at the time. I needed to get them out. But then they're not a waste of paper, but a waste of paper, if you kind of know what I mean. And I'm sort of thinking about, when I think that, I'm thinking more about, like, you know, saving money a bit because, you know, cost of living's gone up and all that sort of stuff. So I just find myself going back to them, and it's really quite cathartic to wash away those words and turn them into something else. Has anyone ever done
anything? I was just going to say.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I was just going to say it's a very kind of wellness mental health thing and a catharsis to, you know, that there's a very famous exercise of writing letters to yourself or to your past self and forgiving yourself for things that have happened and then burning the letter. It's almost akin to that. You're kind of getting everything out that is weighing on you at that time and then not so much destroying it, but transforming it into something else. You can build on the foundations of something that's gone before and create something even more beautiful from the remnants of it. So I think that's kind of from a mental health point of view, that's a really positive thing to do.
Absolutely. Sean, I absolutely agree with you. Everything you said, I was thinking, you know, it's so alchemic. You know, the whole taking coal to diamonds. And transforming something transformative, and what a gorgeous process to have that as the base for tapping into a new part of you artistically. I love it. Yeah.
I've even sometimes gone and written upside down, like as in flipped the journal around the wrong way. And so I started writing from the bottom, but it's the top, knowing that eventually it's not going to matter anyway because I'm going to use this as something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, and there's actually something kind of freeing about that too, because it's like, well, there is nothing, like, not that I'd ever share these with anyone, like just the written words as such, but like, it's kind of like, well, it doesn't mean anything because I'm writing in this the wrong way. Or I've even actually just as an experiment just written, like in the middle of a day or something, I'm having a bad day and I'll just scribble out whatever's in my head and I'll just scribble it sideways or whatever. Like there's no, you know, I'm not trying to get anything down in perfect straight lines. Not that I can write straight anyway. And then when you go to it, to go over it, it's like, oh, that's actually really cool. I'm going to leave that word there sideways because it looks really bizarre, but it fits what I want to make. Like, so in a way, I'm kind of thinking about it as a base. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of fun. It's definitely something that's fun, and I'd highly recommend it if you just want to do something weird and different. It's kind of cool.
I love that.
It's kind of how I take notes at work. You know, I've got my clipboard on my desk, and I've got the worst handwriting in the world. I've said this before, but I will, someone phones me up, I'm taking a note for the estate agents, and I write it down. And then to kind of make sure I'm not mixing up my thing, I'll turn my clipboard around a little bit. And then the next one I write, it's in a different orientation. So actually by the end of the day, I have a sheet of paper that's just full of random scribbles, but I can turn it around and know what all of these things. My coworkers absolutely hate it, but that actually makes a lot of sense to me of like turning the book around and writing as you go. That works in my brain.
I think whatever works for you is fine, and too bad for your coworkers.
Well, they shouldn't be looking at my notes anyway.
No, they should not. I think one thing we haven't really discussed, and again, Cara, I'm going to call on you for this because you are my expert at this point in time. I hope you realize that.
No.
Size. Size, in this case, size is going to matter somewhat, I suspect, especially if we're thinking of Sean creating a book.
Well,
you know, like we. Oh, yeah. God. I've got,
we might
sorry.
Need three episodes. Bring for the this.
Yeah, we very well are.
No comment. How can I remove myself from this?
But when we think about...
Sorry, you were saying size matters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pull your mind out of the gutter, please, people.
Oh, my God, that just went completely over my head.
Well, I'm thinking for the simple fact that as we add to the pages, and we're talking mixing, so we're not just talking about writing here, we're talking about adding in whether it's paint, pencil, whether we're pasting in photos or collaging. Eventually, I mean, these books, as Tara's going to have plenty of completed books that are twice as big as what they were when they started, but if it's too small, I find, will that be too difficult, do you think, to get enough stuff out?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
We were talking about the personalities of sketchbooks before, and when we talk about the size coming into it, every sketchbook needs to be a different size. Like, I think, Kylie, you were saying you had to have a sketchbook for certain colours or certain themes you were chasing. That happens with me, but it's like I have to have the basic size for, you know, creating little characters. A5 is my general journaling, just a normal everyday journal. I'm loving B5 size at the moment, which is what the composition books are. But then I have to have A4, and then I even have an A3, which is a monster size.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is awesome. And that's just for little watercolors and stuff, but I find it's incredibly hard to work on the couch with that one. It's takes up the entire couch. So, yeah, I'm probably not the best person to ask for size because I have every size. And I think when you're starting off with sketchbooking or journaling, it's hard to find the actual size that you want to work in and what feels comfortable. So I've basically got one of probably a lot of different brands and a lot of different sizes just until I found what works for me. And then I still bounce back to other ones. And is that the same for everyone else?
Yeah, that's the same for me.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with canvases for me. I'll go from tiny canvases, you know, the A6 canvases up to meter by meter canvases, and kind of, it depends on how I'm feeling that day and what my mood is and what I want to get out. And sometimes I just want to do something really small, and sometimes I want to do something huge. Actually, I've got those tiny canvases that are like 2 by 2.5 inches that I do my mini master studies on, and that's great for
I love those
20 minutes,
Sean.
I want to get this out. Yeah, but that's
so
just
sweet.
That's they're just like fun. And actually, that is something quite cathartic for me, because it's like I want to learn something new, and I'm going to do it in a very quick way. So I pick something that I want to learn, be it composition or, you know, portraiture or whatever, and just go, I'm going to do this as small as possible, because I'll learn exactly what I want without all of the unnecessary guff around it. Whereas I could do the same picture in, you know, 18 by 24 canvas and spend a huge amount of time and learn exactly the same thing. So yeah, it really depends what the application is. And I guess it's the same for journaling. You know, if you're just describing a lovely meal that you've had and you want to draw, you know, a lasagna and describe how wonderful it was and some of the ingredients about it, that's not going to take up as much space as going on holiday and meeting family that you've not seen for a long time. You know, I'm guessing that it's a similar thing. Like the application has to match your intention.
Mm.
So then how do we go about some kind of regular practice? You know, like for those of us that, myself and Kylie, I guess we don't, we're not daily art journaling. But is it a permission thing, Car? Is it just you're allowed to do this so you can do this? Or did you start by setting yourself some kind of, I need to start at, you know, a particular time of day? Like, how did you approach it?
When I first started with just the writing and the journaling, it was more of a therapy thing. So I used to actually just do it before I went to bed at night. I'd just write out whatever happened throughout the day, put the journal down and go to sleep. Now, I've got a high schooler who's at the final few months of high school. So it's a matter of just making sure I sit down every morning after I drop her at school and I sit with the journal and I write, because I find if I don't, I'm not getting it out of my head. So it's more of a therapy, mental health thing for me. It's when I can't see and talk to a therapist, that's what I go to. It's just writing everything out, and it keeps me grounded, I think, in the moment. A tool.
And it's a lot cheaper.
Yes. Heck of a lot cheaper. And I find if I fall out of the practice, I start to feel a little scattered. I don't seem to be able to, like, write my list, because I find I tend to get overwhelmed quite fast. So when I sit down with my journal, I know exactly what I'm doing in it, and then that leads to my other journals where I can then go and play and do, you know, follow little squirrel holes, rabbit holes of exploration. So at the moment I'm doing iPad, and I'm just doing like meditative, like meditations with different styles, and I'm finding that really just handy. And I do that at the couch at night while I watch TV, just so that I'm doing something.
Are you, Carl, when you create, do you have a little routine? Like, I know some people like to say, for example, make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and sit in the same space, or, you know, they might have music that they might listen to or something. Like, do you have any of those little kind of things that you do?
No, as long as I've got a coffee, because the coffee helps the words come out better. It flows a little bit easier, but pretty much I like the silence. I come home after that morning rush, come home, sit down, grab my journal, and that's the first thing I try to get to. I don't go for the rituals or candles or anything. It's just me and my words.
Yep. Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like what we need to do is come back to this in like 3 months' time or something, and see where's everyone is at. I think, like, especially Sean, because, oh my goodness me, your world is about to change in many good ways, in so many good ways, tricky ways too.
yeah, definitely.
It's not all going to be flowers and lollipops, but, you know, that's okay. it's life. But I definitely feel like we need to come back to this conversation. But where I sort of want to come to just before we do end is, so, Carl, you promised us we'd be emptying our wallets. So that being the case, all you've really told us so far is like composition notebooks. I mean, come on, this is the Art Supply Posse. We need names, we need brands, we need more information so we can go broke this week.
I'm not sure that the other two guests actually need the help. I'm writing down all the extra ones that I need to add.
Okay, so
but if you haven't checked it out now, about Hobonichi. The listeners.
Oh, yes, the Hobonichi. Oh, my goodness me. Actually, Carl, please share us a little bit about your Hobonichi, because we need to hear about it. The 5 year.
Oh, my 5 year. Oh, yeah, I'm only a week behind at the moment. I am way behind my little characters every day. So I'm on my second 5 year. We were talking about size before. I started with the A6, didn't work. I found it too small for this amount of writing and not big enough for the drawings. So I gave it up after the fourth year, after pretty much abandoning it through COVID. I did backdate a lot of it, but I decided I'd go and get it because they changed the paper. So the one that I bought actually has the old style paper. So basically on the left-hand side, it's got a little bit to write about your day. Right-hand side is just a full A5 grid. And I decided to draw a creature every day. And I think I'm 18 months in now, and I'm only a few months behind on the creatures. So it's starting to fill up, and it's starting to chunk up a lot. And the Hobonichi paper takes watercolor like a dream.
Is that all you're using, watercolor? Have you just gone, I'm only using watercolor?
Yes, in that one, definitely. I'm using it as just like a play space each day, just to sketch out whatever little creature wants to come out of my brain. And usually they end up either on the calendar at the end of the year, or I scan them. One day I might do something with them, I don't know, but they keep coming. So, but yeah, it was decided all watercolor, and each year I'm changing the pen color, but it has to be carbon, not carbon ink, document ink, because it doesn't bleed through. Very particular about how it works in that journal. But it is my favorite journal.
Cool. That one will make you broke, guys, just so as you know. I'm patiently waiting for
if you divide it by five, that one won't make you broke.
Yeah, the true.
Shipping might.
I never thought of it that way. Thank you. Oh, now I can justify
that. That's really well, good that's art,
really yeah. Divide like it by that. The months.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I divided it down and I went, oh, yeah, okay, I can justify that, and I can justify, actually, I had somebody give me cash, and I said, right, I'm going to buy a cover for it. So I have a really pretty expensive cover. But, yeah, I did do the calculations on that one and went, ooh. No, it's worth it. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, but, you know, if you divide that cover by the amount of books you could put it on, then, you know, it's practically free.
Ooh, wow. The justification seminar begins. I'm in.
No, it's called enabling, isn't it? Isn't it what we're doing, enabling?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm good with that too.
But just beware. If you jump into the Hobonichi, you get into the covers and it just goes downhill from there. That's all I'm saying. I've been known to go to eBay and track down covers from like 4 years ago and go, ooh, that would look pretty on this journal. That one would look pretty on that journal. Yeah, I had to stop that. Oh, very good now. I'm very, very well behaved. I haven't bought a cover in 12 months.
Oh, wow. That's. Are you okay? Do I need to call the hospital? Do we need to call emergency for you?
Well, we need it.
Oh, like, my God. This is hilarious.
Where
hello.
We can just.
Viewers, we really need to fund this obsession. If
hello, my name is Carr, and I have not purchased a cover in 12 months.
12 whole months.
Every day, one car goes without a book cover. You can help. Go to this GoFundMe.
Well, that gives me the coffee so I can keep filling the journals. So
yeah, you're true.
That's a good point. See?
You've got to make, yeah. So aside from the Hobonichis, can you recommend any other brands or even actually, I guess, ink brands, you know, or particular pens or even, look, why not share your watercolors? Like, and actually this go once Carr has said her little bit, if Kylie or Sean have got some suggestions of like, you know, your go-to pens or markers or paints, feel free to bring, because, you know, that is, the listeners do love trying things out that perhaps, you know, someone may have never heard of Hobonichi before or any other brand for that matter. So, you know, go for it.
You go ahead, Sean.
Me?
Okay. Well, I mean, I am an influencer for Stabilo, so I guess I should probably mention them. But
you probably
I actually
do job,
really...
Yes.
Yeah. I actually do really like their pens. They're also work as watercolors. They're acrylable inks in all of their pens, and it's kind of the same colors all the way through. So if you're kind of interested in watercolors alongside inking, definitely give them a try. I recently got some Emot pens from Uni as well, which are kind of a very fine ballpoint pen. That come in some really lovely pastel colours. They've been really nice. But my go-to pen is always a Uni Pin. I think the Uni Pin fine liners are just fantastic. They're water resistant as well, so you can use them with watercolours without worrying about them smudging and smearing all over the place. And I think that's what I use for most of my watercolour illustrations.
How about you, Carly?
I was just looking for which number of thickness of pen I use, but I was going through drawers. Okay, so what I'm actually for, the store Muji, like Muji.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love their stationery books. They sell them in packs of... Look, because I've got about 10 packs that I own. Packs of five. And I think they run about, it's really cheap. Like something ridiculous, like $6 or something. And that's like Canadian dollars, which is really not much at all. But they open up really flat. So it doesn't matter if you're left-handed or right-handed. So the spine never bothers you when you open up these books, and the ink doesn't bleed through. So if you're doing any writing, it's really great. I haven't tested out watercolors or anything in it, but they're lined. So, you know, that's not great if you're not looking for that. But they also, I buy pens from them for writing, and I also use them for outlining, because they have the thickness of a 01 in just the Sakura like micro permanent pens mm-hmm. that you use for drawing. Mm-hmm. And it's got about that thickness, and it goes on like ink, but it doesn't bleed. So they're really nice for if you're doing inking around watercolors, like post watercolor drawing. I found those really nice. That's my latest purchase that I've been obsessed with. So I liked them so much, I ordered a ton because I was so scared that they would stop making them. But it looks like they're so popular that they're not discontinuing those. Okay. Otherwise, for sketchbooks, to take away fear, I kind of go with, sometimes I just even pick up dollar store sketchbooks, because it takes away that pressure of, God, this is expensive. I better make some kind of masterpiece. So I do kind of make sure that I've always got different sizes of cheap blanks, you know, around, just so I can pick up anything and there's no pressure.
Good idea. All right, Car. So let's have a couple more recommendations from you, because, you know, you're my expert, as I said.
I have pretty much a lot of pens, but the one that I keep coming back to is the Platinum Preppy, which is a really cheap fountain pen. I think I picked mine up for like $5 or $8 back in the day, and it just keeps going. And I fill it with carbon ink, which is bulletproof. It doesn't smudge when you put water on it. Otherwise, I use document deatrements, I think is how you say it.
Yeah.
In different fountain pens. I love the Kaweco Sport fountain pens. They come in the most gorgeous little colors. But again, like the cover issue I had before, they can be dangerous for the budget. Correct. Not saying you should
buy any. I've done the same.
Not saying.
Yeah, I love them, and I've got like 3 or 4, and I'm like, oh, stop.
Well, you've got to color code them to the ink. No.
I know. Yes, you do. And that's
if I pick up a blue pen and it's got pink ink, it's just not going to work. So I have a blue one with my blue ink, pink with my pink. I'll stop there. I don't want to throw myself under.
any other notebook recommendations?
I'm using Nostalgy at the moment for a weekly project I'm doing, and I actually quite enjoy it. It takes watercolor. Most other things that I throw at it, it tends to take. So I'm enjoying that. And it comes in B5, which is my favorite size at the moment. So that would be the one I would recommend.
Cool. Well, I just want to end with my recommendation, which is to grab an old book. An old book as in, you know, a novel or a nonfiction or an encyclopedia. We've all got books, I am sure, that we no longer read, don't want, but have not yet gotten rid of. Grab it and use that as an art journal, because trust me, it is so freeing and you will have so much fun in it. I know mine has been shared on the Instagram, and quite a few people love the idea. So, you know.
I'm one of them that loves the idea. It's gorgeous.
If you don't want to spend any money, or you just listen to this right now and you just want to start right now and you don't actually have a blank journal, which is problematic, but we'll let you go and grab an old book and throw some ink on it, or grab some paint. Trust me, you're going to have so much fun. It is just so much fun. I think we need to bring this definitely conversation we can return to in a few months' time. I think it would be interesting to see where we're all at with things. But we'll finish up now, otherwise, because I do feel like we could go for another hour or two, and it's like way, way, way late for Sean, and I'm like, oh my goodness me. But before we close up,
oh, it's fine. Thank you, everyone. It's fine.
You keep telling me that, and I'm like,
it's only 1 o'clock in the morning. It's fine. I've got a house viewing in, 6 hours. It's fine.
Oh, no. All night of Sean, just don't get a bed. Simple. Problem solved.
You know what? Great. I'll get out an art journal.
Everybody, we'll get you all to share where people can find you online. Let's start with Kylie.
I'm on Instagram under the name Arrived as O'Grady. So Arrived_as_O'Grady. And that's me on Instagram. Don't have any other platforms, no websites, just there for now.
Beautiful. And Car, where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram, Car Rose Creative. And I had a blog at one point, but it's very old. So I think it was Car Rose Creations. I don't know where I got confused between the two there, but that's where you can find me.
And Sean, lastly, where can we find you?
Oh, you can find me all over the internet. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, basically any platform that will have me, I'm on there. Just search for Uncle Frogface and you'll find me and the puppets and everything else.
Fantastic. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. This conversation has been fantastic. My day has been made. I am certainly going to go off an art journal. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm doing. Thank you so much for taking.
I might sleep first.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you do that. We'll give you permission.
Oh, thanks.
I'd love to just say thank you to all of you guys for being so inspiring. This was really, I got so much more out of this than I ever thought I would. You guys are beautiful. It's great.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to blush. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Fantastic. Definitely.
Thank you, guys. Would you be interested in making a one-off payment to support us? In return, you'd be helping to keep the podcast going, and would also get access to our bonus episodes. Let me know what you think via kim@artsupplyposse.com or via Instagram.